It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I will not be moved. I will not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. I will not be moved. Good morning. Hey, what is it? It's the 12th day, October 2020, my dad's 101st birthday. Now, he's not still around, but if he was still around, today would be the day. Happy birthday to my dad. You know, every father leaves a mark. Huh? Oh, yeah. Every father leaves a mark, especially those that aren't around. They leave a big, big mark. We know that 70% of those born in the black community don't have a daddy. They're not surrounded by the daddy. And I don't want to get into the whole racism issue and play downplay or upplay racism and all that, the critical race theory and all that stuff. But I can tell you this, the black community would be better if they simply had daddies raise their children. If mommies and daddies, black, red and yellow, black and white, it don't matter. If mommies and daddies simply stayed married and raised their children. You know, we look at the divorce rates in America. They skyrocketed shortly after the introduction of the pill. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. That when the sexual relationship between a man and a woman simply became about pleasure, we got off the trail. The miracle of sex. I said this to my grandchildren. My daughter, who our grandchildren were in the room the other day. I said, you know, the amazing thing, all of us. Every one of us, all of you watching this show right now, every one of you came about as a result of a sexual experience. Every one of you. And some of you planned to have it that way. Some of you, it just happened. It's just, somebody said, one of those little sperm got by the goalkeeper. And when it got to the point where sex was no longer about children or the life-changing power of a child once the sexual act has taken place. See, you used to not be able to kill them. You couldn't kill children. Because you couldn't kill children, they came forever a part of your life. We all know, if I were to ask right now, there are many probably watching this show right now, maybe my age, 60, I'm 60, I'll be 68 next month, wow. My age, who maybe have a previous child before the marriage. Probably a lot of you out there that were like that. Back before birth control and abortion, and you're fooling around in the backseat of your 57 Chevy and you created a little baby, and then you took care of that little baby and then settled down your life. And after 1960, you decided to get married to your real wife, and you married her in 1965, and you stayed married for however many years that would be, but you still have this little child that was part of this. Well, you're not a little child anymore. You have this son or this daughter that's part of this other relationship. When sex became purely pleasurable, hedonistic, they call that. When sex became just about an orgasm, we lost something. We lost something. And for the most part, that's what it's become. It's sad that we find ourselves in the state that we're in, the situation that we're in, where family's no longer honored. And I'm probably ringing JR's bell right now, talking about the family, the natural family. It is the heartbeat of it all. But we're so far down that road. But, hey, folks, we don't even believe in the natural family in the church anymore. Church is more focused on social justice and all these other things rather than just the very, very issue of right and wrong. Boy, what if we'd started there, huh? So my dad was born 101 years ago today, one of seven children. I popped along November 26, 1952. And then 12 years ago today, our oldest daughter, Abby, and her husband, Morgan, got married. And on my dad's birthday. And they've blessed us with three wonderful little grandchildren, two of which stayed all night with us last night. And to understand this thing called life, this continuum called life, all springs from one sexual encounter is pretty amazing, isn't it? As I said, that little sperm got by the goalkeeper. And there were times back when, before the pill was around, girls decided they were going to be chaste because why? They didn't want to have a baby out of wedlock. So we gave them the pill and said, it's okay, nothing will happen. We were off to the races, weren't we? So happy birthday, Dad. I don't know how many of you can say this. Happy birthday, Dad. I hardly knew you. It is the truth, isn't it? By the time you're old enough to understand parenthood, your parents are not around or gone or whatever. And I often look back over my shoulder at my upbringing. My dad with seven children, a factory worker, worked double shifts all the time. From the time I can remember, my dad would leave the house in the morning and I wouldn't see him again till I don't know when. He'd work a double shift at Kaiser Aluminum, get up and do the next thing the next day. He worked 16 hours a day and provided for his kids and found that, you know, the job of a father and a husband was to be a provider. And Dad was a good provider. I never knew him. Not really. Never knew him. And it's hard to know your heavenly father if you don't know your earthly father. I'll say that again because some of you missed it. If you think about your heavenly father and your thought of him has anything to do with your earthly father. In other words, if you hear the word father and you think of your earthly father, that could be good or that could be bad. For a lot of people, they hear earthly father and they, and then you say, well, your heavenly father loves you. And they think, heavenly father, earthly father, whoa, are you kidding me? I don't want anything to do with that guy. The women's liberation movement, you know, feminism is really about anger. They're mad at dad, most part. They'll never admit, they don't even know what it is, but they are, they're mad at their father. Fatherhood's a man's big deal. And we ain't doing very good with it. So happy birthday, Dad. Happy anniversary, Abby and Morgan. I wanted to make sure I want to get in. Say hi and thank you to Steve Deck this morning, and Serge, and Victor, and John Barnett, Coach Norm, and others that have helped us up at Sky High. I know I forgot to mention the other day. There's more. I've forgotten more. Just want to thank you all for that. I was visited by the Secret Service this weekend. Yeah, really. And Mike, I sent you the door knocker they left. And I've pondered all weekend this the significance of it. I was speaking at a rally, a Trump rally in Mount Vernon, Ohio, and my son-in-law, who was out splitting wood, called me and said, hey, Coach, Secret Service is here. I said, what? He says, yeah, the Secret Service is here and two deputy sheriffs. They want to talk to you. I said, well, what? Why? He said, well, I don't know, but they want to talk to you. Now you can see it's on the screen right now. I posted this earlier. They said it was fake. And I, well, trust you, it wasn't fake. So I said, well, you tell them I'll be home about an hour. And I got home and Michelle and I, she worried all the way home whether they're going to cuff me and take me off for something that I hadn't done. And, you know, hey, would you laugh? Do you think that's impossible? Huh? I think it has to do a lot with the agent that comes to your door, to be honest with you. Some of you never had that happen to you. So there was Department of Homeland Security, United States Secret Service, Mr. Dave Dobbelmeyer, 10-10-20, left a note. His phone number is under that. I covered up this phone number, contact information, name. A statement made on your podcast was deemed as a threat, reported as a threat. I'd like to clear that up. Thanks. So I called him on the number that he left. I said, hey, I'm home now. You want to come by? I'm here. I got nothing to hide. He says, I'll be right over. I'll be there in 10 minutes. You know, the FBI visited me earlier, a couple years ago. And those of you who've listened to this show, can you think of anything I've ever said that was un-American or unbiblical or anything? Anything at all? What would ever on this show make both the FBI and the Secret Service show at my door? Well, I know why they showed up, right? I'm going to take you somewhere. Stay with me a second. They showed up because the left is well-organized, friends. They're well-organized. I should have known something was up because I started getting emails on Friday evening from lefties. These are the ones who didn't send penises, although some of them did send penises, but not all of them sent penises. But they started to say, how dare you threaten to hang Hillary? How dare? I thought, this is kind of odd. Get 10, 11 emails asking why I threatened to kill Hillary, which, of course, I never did. And so when the phone rang on Saturday, it was my son-in-law, and he said, Secret Service is here. I got to be honest with you. I really wasn't surprised. So when he showed up, we spent about 30 minutes together. Sat down on my front porch, went through the whole thing. I said, where'd this complaint come from? And he said, well, sir, to be honest with you, it came from the top. I said, the top? He says, yeah, it came from about three levels up from me. And I'm here just to verify it and see whether or not you have anything. I don't even remember how the conversation went. You get it. I talked to him about going to Hillary's. And of course, they know everything, right? That we're going to Hillary's, we're going to go again, and that treason. I read the treason law, whatever you call that code. I read that to him. He already knew about it. And I said, you know, listen. Why would you guys think I'm? Why would you be here? They're breaking windows in downtown Columbus. They're shooting guys dead in Denver, and you're here because I want the law enforced. That's all I want. I want the law enforced. You're here getting ready to possibly arrest me, and you won't arrest that. You won't arrest Hillary. What the hell's going on? I said that. The hell's going on? How do I get her arrested? I don't want to hang her. I don't believe in vigilante justice. Well, I want the law followed. What are you doing here? What did I do wrong? Anybody know what did I do wrong? So do you read everything you want to read? You listen to every podcast I've ever made? You'll never hear me call for violence. You'll never, ever hear me do it. You'll never hear me do it. You'll never hear me make a threat. I'm going to make a threat. I'm not going to make a threat on the air. That's stupid. But you know what I found out? Of course, the left gets together and bombards the Secret Service office in Washington, D.C., that I'm going to go to Chappaqua and hang Hillary. It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? And I reiterate again. See, I did that on purpose because you can't reiterate again. That's called a double entendre. I reiterate. I say again. I just ask him to enforce the law. I told him the same thing. Just enforce the law. Hold your ears. So hold your ears. Sir, do me a favor. Just arrest her ass, will you? Will somebody just arrest her ass? Can we start there? I don't care whether you hang her. But could you arrest her? I don't even know what to say. Why? Because there's no redress of grievances. There's nobody to turn to. But story's not done. Let me get this out of me, okay? Then they call my neighbor. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. When they do their report after they're done with me, they got to call my neighbor. They get a 30-minute interview with my neighbor. Hey, listen. Hey, folks, I'm an innocent man. I haven't done anything wrong. And they're running an investigation They're violating my privacy. They asked my neighbor if I had any guns and how many guns I had, what kind of guns I had, how often I shot the guns. They wanted to know if I had a good relationship with my wife, and what about my brothers and sisters? Did I get along with them? Or were any of them like me? And on for 30 freaking minutes. I wasn't there. I had a conversation with a neighbor afterwards. What's this all about, you think? Because I thought seriously about this. Secret Service agent was of a different political opinion of me, he could have really made this look nasty. You know what I'm saying? It's all the perspective of the cop, whoever it is. It's all that perspective. So they came. I sat down with him. He was very, very manly, very gentlemanly. He did it. And no complaints anything about it, just doing his job. I'd said that's Clint Eastwood did that. Cool Hand Luke did that. Just doing my job, boss. I understand this, boss. And then I told him, we're going back to Chappaqua on October 31st. We're going back there. But you guys probably already know that, but we're going to go back. Because I'm not going to be intimidated. And we all know... Are y'all looking at me? We all know now that she did it. We all know now that she committed a felony. Friends, look at me. She committed a felony. We know she did. She committed multiple felonies. She committed treasonous felonies. And they visit me. For pointing it out. So I just want to get that out on the table so everybody knows. Some people said, oh, that's probably fake. That's fake. They wouldn't use a door hanger like, yeah, well, they did. Yeah, they did. They sure did leave a little door hanger. Give me a call, and I did. So I want you to consider this. This job might be glamorous. This job I'm doing here, you may think this is glamorous. There's a price that comes with it, friends. And I'll bet you this. I bet you they know who Larry Richardson is. Huh? I bet they know who Randy is. Mike Heath. They probably know who Mike Heath is. They probably got agents studying each one of us rather than where the real criminals are. You know what the sad thing is? When that black limousine pulls in, they want to come out and they want to take me in for questioning on the next thing. Huh. A lot of people want to applaud. So I see he deserves that. He should have kept his mouth shut. I ain't going to do it. I will not be moved. I will not be moved, just like a tree planted by the water. I will not be moved. Do you have any idea what we have at stake? Do you have any idea? Somebody come on in. We got a comment. I'll move on to something else.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff.
Just want to say thanks for coming up there, climbing up on that stage in that van. But think about this while you're saying this. How many men standing on that public square, if you're getting ready to climb up there and speak with that microphone and somebody called them and said, CIA's at your house, Dad, they would have split. They would have just took off. So that was cool. You got up there and give them what you need to give them and then went and checked out the CIA at your house. Thank you, brother.
Yep. Wasn't CIA. They'd probably follow me anyway. It was Secret Service. That's okay. I get it. Yeah, okay. I did get the word while I was in Mount Vernon, by the way. Yeah, it was right before I spoke. Go ahead, Dale.
Amen, Coach. You know, I've been in them shoes, and a lot of people who have not yet, that might look glamorous on the one side, but to have to walk in that and have to muddy through them waters, it's a hardship. And we were praying for you at church. We saw that. We took it serious. And I shared with my church, I said, I'm reminded of one of my elders' wife who was talking with her brother about their church. And he was braggadocious and how their church was building a big new addition on the wing. And, you know, they just a big church and going on and on and on. And it's like a Kodak moment. She looked at her brother and said, yeah, Well, my pastor's on the domestic terrorist watch list. And I'm like, what to be proud of? What to be proud? What, that we built a big wing on our church? Or the fact of the matter is, brother, we're hated by the kings of this world. And brother, we're in good company. We're of the scum of the earth, as Paul said. He says, I've become the scum of the earth. Brother, we're in good company.
Thanks, Dale.
You know, go ahead, Larry. Our wives deserve a lot of credit, too, for standing beside us and behind us. Because believe you me, it does worry them. I mean, it does work on their brains.
Larry, it worried Michelle all the way home from Mount Vernon. I promise you that, man. I was anxious in that I wanted to get it on. She was worried in that, what are they going to do? And it's real, folks. It's real. When they, you know how easy it is to drum up charges. Here's what I would say. I don't know. I want you all to think about this. What's the worst thing he could say about you as a man? And I would say, I think the worst thing they could ever accuse me of is cowardice.
Well, cool.
You recognize it on the football field. You recognize it on the hockey rink. You recognize it on the battlefield. You recognize cowardice. And unfortunately, there's a lot of it. We got a lot. I'm not tooting my own horn.
No, but you're
good, then.
First of all, they're the cowards for doing this to you a second time. Okay, just like you said. Now we know that she committed all those crimes.
We know she
all
did.
All those crimes. So why are they bothering with you? Why do you even waste time with this memo when they should have gone to 15 Old House Lane and frog marched that idiot right out?
Hey, Mike, if you could, pull up, it says Secret Service.
And one other point, Coach?
Yeah.
John Brennan released a tweet that would constitute a threat on President Trump's life. How come they didn't visit him?
Well, they may have. We don't know that, Vinny. We don't know that. Let's say maybe they did. We don't know that. But I know they visited me, and I didn't do anything. Except, yes, I did do something. I asked them to enforce the law. This was the commentary that I wrote on last Thursday. You remember, guys, I read it. Mike, just go down to the law. Just go down to the federal code. That's all. Amen. And I read, right there it is, Mike. I read it to the agent. Right off my phone. No, it wasn't off my phone. That's not too true. Maybe I just quoted it to him. I quoted 18 U.S. Code 2381, treason. Whoever owing allegiance to the United States. Would that be Hillary? Somebody help me out. Does Hillary owe allegiance to the United States?
Absolutely. Yeah, she swore allegiance.
Okay, she think she does. I think she swore an oath. Didn't she raise her hand and say, so help me God, to this? I believe she, maybe I'm wrong. But it says, whoever owing allegiance to the United States levies war against them or adheres to their enemy. Hey, Mike, we need to look that word up, adheres. Adheres. Because if we're in court, then lawyers like Roger are going to focus in on that word adhere and try to wiggle out because it says adheres. So let's see what it means, adhere. To stick to, as gluttonous substances or by natural growth, as the lungs sometimes adhere to the, boy, my lungs adhere to my lungs for about 10 days, to be joined or held in contact, to cleave to, figuratively to hold to, be attached or remain fixed, either by personal union or conformity of faith. Wow. Principles or opinions, as men adhere to a party, a leader, a church, a creed, a government, to be consistent, to hold together as parts of a system. To be consistent, to hold together as parts of a system. So, Mike, let's go back to U.S. Code. Excuse me for the coughing. I'm better, a lot better today. In fact, my wife sent me down some coughing. So, whoever owing allegiance. Do I need to go to Webster's for owing? Owing. See, it doesn't say they pledge allegiance, they owe allegiance. There's a difference in that, right? Between pledging to pay you and owing it. Whoever owing allegiance to the United States levies war against them or adheres, sticks to their enemies. Would Russia be an enemy? Russia would be an enemy, wouldn't they? Yeah. So she stuck to them. And then she gave them aid and comfort within the United States. She did that within the United States and also elsewhere. Is guilty of treason and shall suffer death. Boys and girls, I didn't make that up. I didn't say I was going to go to Chappaqua and do it. I just said, hey, how about just enforcing the law? How about just enforcing the law? And for that, I get a visit for asking them to do what? Do their job. Anybody got a comment on that? It's the law. Guys, that's the law. Just same as jaywalking, just same as going 75 into 65. It's the law. It's a little bit more serious law. In fact, the scriptures, not the scriptures, but the declaration calls it a high crime and a misdemeanor. It's a high crime because why? It's done by somebody high in office. It's treasonous. It's treasonous. This woman is treasonous. Let it alone. Well, I...
Hey, Coach.
Uh-huh.
I have a comment. You know, the same people that reported you to the Secret Service, et cetera, they are now sitting in your chairs listening and laughing because of the discomfort and stuff they think they put us through.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how depraved these people are. I would love for them to come sit in my front yard and laugh at me.
Well, Larry, here's the sad part. Are y'all sitting down? Here's the sad part. The American church, you've heard of that institution? The American church can't recognize evil. See, there are people in the American church who would say, I got what I deserved. You understand that, don't you? They would say, I got what I deserved. And I saw yesterday, 40%, I think it's 40% of Christians now, according to the latest somebody survey, 40% of Christians now think that abortion is acceptable in Christianity. 40%. Right? So we can't even recognize evil.
Well, Coach, if I may jump in real quick, man, I didn't even think you just said something. And I started my yesterday morning service and I looked at my entire congregation and I said, if you're not 100% pro-life without any exceptions, I said, this church is not for you and you need to leave right now. What pastors are going to do that? And you know what? We have now a couple in our church who was supposed to go on vacation who now is just been charged with a fake charge of assault and battery at an abortion clinic. You know what I looked at them and said? I said, we're going to financially help you and support you and get your attorney, and we're going to fight this thing tooth and nail. Where are these pastors? Why are they not doing this?
Why is abortion still legal?
Deems it's okay.
Half of the people in the church think it's all right. Think it's Christian to get an abortion. Half
Coach, of them. You know, and I know, 40% of the abortions that are done are on people who attend church.
Sadly. Yeah, sadly. That's the truth, buddy. Somebody else come on in. I'll change gears. I'll change.
Coach, you know what this is all about?
What's that, Clay?
Well, nobody. I mean, who stands up against Hillary? And they've got a reputation. They know that if you stand up against Hillary and all this kind of stuff, you end up suicided or something. And then they got somebody that's wearing a cross on their hat. That doesn't have any fear, and they're not going to let this intimidation scare them. And they're just trying to figure a way to try to keep. They don't want people showing up at Hillary's house bringing attention. And you know as well as I do that there's no threat of anybody going and trying to hang her. They just want to try to stir the pot to try to keep everybody from coming, so that the media won't get involved and it won't show up on TV and start bringing it to people's attention. And that, all it is trying to scare us, and they don't know what they're going to have to do to scare us.
Well, Clay, I told them July 21st, I'm sorry, October 31st, Saturday, October 31st, I'm going back. And I said, I hope some people come with me. We took a lot of people with us last time. You guys certainly know that Secret Service. You certainly know it. You're not here. You don't understand. You don't know this stuff. You don't act like you don't know this. You're probably tapping my phone. Somebody's probably tapping my phone. You know. And so I want you to know while you're sitting right here and I'm looking you in the eye, I'm going back. I'm going to take people back with me and we're going to call for her arrest again. We're going to do it again. Now, I can tell you right now, we're not going to go to lynch her. We're not going to go to do any type of harm to her. We're simply going to go and try to petition our government to redress our grievances, to let people know that we've had enough of it. We've had enough of it. We've had enough of what they have done to our president. We've had enough of it. The selective justice in America, we've had enough of it. It's not okay with us. We see where this whole thing is going. And if that means that you're going to come and arrest us because we happen to make Hillary feel uncomfortable, I won't be the first guy to go to jail and I won't be the last one. But we're coming. And we're not gonna come to do anything ourselves. We're coming to ask you to do it. We're asking you to do it. In fact, I'm asking you to do it right now. Right now. Could you go arrest her right now? Aren't you a federal agent with arresting powers? You just saw that the Director of National Intelligence just released a document, said they did it. Clam, what's it right up here? It is who, huh? Brennan, Comey, Clapper, Rice, they all did it. Obama knew it. He didn't get arrested because he knew it? Is that right? So suffer death, is guilty of treason, suffer death. That's just for the little people. That's just for me and Jeff Klein, Mike Heath. We have to face this, but the higher ups, they don't. That's all right. Come chop my head off. I'll just beat you out here a little bit. The rapture's coming tomorrow anyway, isn't it? I'll just get out there ahead of you.
Well, that's a sad thing, you know, that it angers me. The fact is, even when Donald Trump made that statement, you know, if I was president, you'd be in jail. And brother, these people have not done their duty themselves. They have not done these things, the things that you're doing. And Coach, the Lord showed me you have become the thorn in her side.
Amen.
The thorn in her side.
Randy opened that threshold. I told the FBI, true story, the Secret Service agent when he's leaving. Hey, folks, look at me. Don't ever forget this, okay? I'm going to give you some advice right now. Don't ever forget it. That Secret Service agent, younger guy, probably has a wife and kids, a house, car payment, truck payment, mortgage. Probably in debt, trying like every rest of us, trying to keep his head above water, just doing his job, boss, just doing his job. And I told him, I looked him right in the eye, I said, Hubie Brown, the great basketball coach for the New York Knicks years and years ago, told me something I'll never forget. And I remember this everywhere I go. Hubie Brown said, you'll get along in life a lot better if you realize this one simple premise. Are you ready? Here it is. In the end, everybody's out to cover their own ass.
Amen, Coach.
Right? That Secret Service wasn't there to protect me. He was doing his job. I'll tell you this, he wasn't even there to protect Hillary. He was there following orders. Because why? The car payments and same thing I just said, right? Hey, so do I. So do I, right? And in the end, I would like to cover my own ass, but I ain't worried about it. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Right? Come on, man. And so we're going to make a decision, folks, that when the heat gets turned up, do we tuck tail and run? Do we shrivel and shrink? Or do we stand up face to face? That's why I said October 31st, see in Chappaqua, because I'm going back.
Hey, Coach, real quick. Here, reported by Natural News, Mike Adam. Trump gives Barr ultimatum, arrest Obama, Biden, and Clinton, or find yourself in a sad situation. He said he's quoting Trump from a phone conversation, and this is just breaking this morning.
Really? Well, you know, President Trump did say this weekend that they have it all. I couldn't believe it. President Trump said it was either yesterday or the day before, don't remember which, and no, I don't have it in front of me. But he called for the arrest of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Do you guys know that? Do you know that the President of the United States did that?
Hey, Coach, I've been saying for years, the NSA has everything. So why? I've been laughing about it. They have everything. So, yeah, I've just been laughing about it.
Vinny, he said, we have it all.
He is the executive. He is the highest of the branch of the executive order. And these people need to obey that order. The material's there. Do your job or step aside. I mean, truthfully, Donald Trump has the authority to take out a pair of handcuffs, go to her house, and personally arrest Hillary himself because he is the highest law official in the land.
Well, yeah. Yeah, maybe he'll do that after he's arrested. I don't want to get buried on this. But, hey, folks, look. You wait till the other side wins. They know you, Dale. They know where you live, man. Huh?
Coach, we're in good company, brother. I'm there. I get it. I can't fly. I don't fly. My whole family, my children, have been placed on the domestic terrorist watch list for these very reasons. I get it. And I've walked in your shoes, and I get it. But you know what? I know this. You'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, Coach.
I love that young life.
You got to have a test, and you got to have some monies to get to the other side. But there is an incredible testimony that's being developed. And that what Randy did, we talked about, I'm telling you, Coach, half of my service on Sunday was about this. And I talked about when Randy laid hands on those gates, let me tell you what, hell rattled.
And Dale, it wasn't an immediate impact. You understand? It's like a hurricane, isn't it? Huh? You feel those forces coming in, but it takes a while for it actually to reach land. Huh? It takes a while for the impact to fully hit. That's what happened when Randy did that. You're right. The gates of hell shook and those gates fell open. And we are seeing right now the consequences of Randy's obedience to go do it. That's the way I see it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I, just saying, Jeff, if she doesn't get arrested, we don't have a government. We don't have a legal system if she doesn't get arrested. If Barack Obama doesn't get arrested, we don't have a legal system, folks. Go ahead, Jeff.
It's kind of like on a smaller scale. This is a much smaller scale, but we do this in each of our own little towns. Just like that stupid van I have with that stage on it. Then liberal Democrats have hated me for the last six Saturdays in a row, called the law, called the mayor, turned me in for being up there with that van. And now all of a sudden we're up there Saturday and we got all the speakers up there, the mayor of Mount Vernon, Bob Gibbs, Coach Dave, they are just livid. Now I'll show back up Saturday with the van to bring them a message again. They just hate it, but we just got to keep doing it.
Jeff, I appreciate your faithfulness. I do appreciate your faithfulness because my wife says all the time, well, you can say what you want to. And Jeff Klein, he never stops trying. And I salute you for that, Jeff, because that is the truth, man. You never do. And by the way, folks, if you're interested in Trump flags, Jeff Klein is Mr. Trump flag. If you'd like to have one, we're going to place an order, and I'm going to get rid of some of them as well. And it's time to come out of hiding, come out of the shadows. I told people when I drove from Jeff, that event in Mount Vernon, that's about 30 miles from me up the road, up Route 13. 89 to 7, I counted the signs. 89 to 7, Trump, Biden. 89-7, my wife and I counted them. There's no way Joe Biden can possibly win. No way he can possibly win. But there's a lot of ways he might win. You with me? With me? And so the public appearance, signs, those kind of things, they matter. The more those kind of things are out there, the harder it's going to be for them to lie. Okay? So if you're interested in the flag, Jeff's got all kinds of them. Just text me or email me, whatever, let me know. Listen, $20 because we're going to have to pay $5 to ship them. Okay? But we'll get them out to you if you're interested in having them. We'd love to do it. All right, I'm ready to shift gears. Anybody want anything else to say on this? I don't want to, because see, this sounds like I'm making this about me. I'm not making it about me because, Jeff, you're the next, you get the next visit. Hey, Mike Heath, you're going to get one. Dale, you're going to get one. Who else is in here? Larry, you'll get one, Larry.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Alan, they're going to come get you too, man.
Listen, brother, my quarterback in high school, Lex Smith, he's big-time banker. And his job is he's with $50 million clients and up. And when he found out my son worked up there, he said, Alan's eye for how in the world did they hire your boy? Crazy as you are, radical as you are, how did they hire your boy? And I ain't nowhere as bad as you, Coach.
You snuck him in under the radar, didn't you?
Yeah,
snuck
crazy,
him in.
Man.
Snuck him in under the radar. I have an interesting. Go ahead. Yeah.
It's Craig.
Hey, Craig. A
couple things. And, you know, I've been saying this. And remember, October 31st is the day of the flood. But I want you to listen to something here.
Okay.
I'm gonna write you something up on Genesis 7, and you can study it. But it says, on the day of the flood, two things happened. The foundations of the deep were opened, but the windows of heaven were opened. Mm. Now, if you go and you go to Isaiah 24:18-19, that's the judgment of God on the earth. And it uses the same wording, the windows of heaven. The windows of heaven are not rain from clouds. The windows of heaven are openings, portals, if you want, of spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And they all fall on that date. Now, October 31st, we're having a full moon, second moon of the month.
Wow, is that right?
The last time that this happened was 75 years ago in 1944. Okay.
Say that again, Craig. There hasn't been a full moon on October 31st since 1944.
That is correct. And that was the end of the war. The war was coming. It was winding down. The nation of Israel was getting ready to be formed. And there's a lot of things that were going on in the spiritual realm is what I'm saying. So
there's a lot going on now, isn't there, brother?
Well, yeah. You know, nothing new under the sun.
Folks, listen. So we're going to get out more details. I'd love for you to come.
Amen, Craig.
You say, Coach, I'd like to, but you know, God, it's a long way, and I know it is. It's a long way for me too. It's a long way for me too.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I was going to say that what he was describing as far as the blood moon back to 1944 is based on this date. We've had lots of blood moons. They're called blood moons where you get two full moons within the month. But this is the last one, or the first one since 44.
Wow. It's a blue. It's not a blood moon. It's a blue moon. A harvest moon.
I'm sorry. Blue moon.
Blue moon. Wasn't there a song about that? We're right in the midst of unbelievable times, aren't we? We really are. Biblical times. Right in the middle.
Call Stephanie. Call Stephanie. She'll tell.
Oh, she's already texting me here this morning. This is my second now. She has blue moons are used specifically for supercharged spell work. From Stephanie. Yeah, Joe.
It was Alan. Coach, hey, look up Isaiah 44, Coach. Read verse 26 and 28, Coach. Verse 26 and 28 of Isaiah 44.
Mike's working on now. Isaiah 44. What verse, Alan?
Verse 26 and 28.
Verse 26. So let's start at 24.
Isaiah 44.
Isaiah 44. That's what you got up, isn't it? You know what it is, Mike? You got it up in Isaiah 40. Yeah, 24. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness. Yes, sir. Who confronts the world of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited. To cities of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise up her waste places. Yes, sir. Raise up those waste places. We're in the midst of something, man. We're in the midst of it. Cool. Thank you, Alan. So listen, if you can, Here's my plan. We're going to unleash more of it. I'm going out on Friday. I'm going to stay Friday night. And Saturday, we're going to do a honking wave like we did last time. It was fabulous. It'll be even better this time. It's right before the election, too. I don't know if you've put that together or not. And then we're going to do a car tour, 15 Old House Lane by Hillary's. And we have the right to do that. They'll know we're coming. I don't know what dastardly thing she's going to be doing on October 31st, but we're going to go. We'd love for you to come. Love for you to come. Yeah, and yes, I am raising money. I'm raising money to do it. I'm going to. Last time we rented several cars, drove them from Ohio. I had to put gas in them. Had to put people up overnight. So we're going to. Yes, we're going to try to raise some money to do it. If you can't go, you can help. We're going to do it October 31st. Somebody, come on in.
Hey, Coach, I'll let you know this. We just decided yesterday morning, talked to David Arthur, I talked to Pastor Bill, we're going to do another tent revival. And the weekend of the 23rd and 24th, coming up here real soon, before the election, and we're going to mix the politics and religion. We'll set up the big tent, the ice cream truck, the food trailer, everything out in front of the car lot, Friday night and Saturday night, 6 to 8. I'd even like to call Tom Dunn, and if what's her name, the lady was just talking about, she wants to come down, different ones. But it's basically going to be exposing the evil for what's really going on. I'm going to put it on WNZR, too, the Christian radio station. Invite the pastors of Christians. Come find out the truth. We're going to come up with a title for this thing that'll be catchy, you know what I mean? And try and get their attention. We'll just see what happens. But right now, with all the hoopla going in town for the last 2 months, what we're doing, selling flags in the van, I think we'll pull a much bigger crowd. So we're working on that now. So if you want to come up, you're welcome if you're home that weekend.
See, listen, the left and the right, the church does not believe in evil. We'll say it again. The church does not believe in organized evil. We don't understand. The church does not understand that if America falls into the hands of the left again, we may never recover. We may never recover. Our children may never recover if the government falls back in the hand of these lefties. And so the point that I made two points when I spoke in Mount Vernon. Point number one is the battle's just begun. If you think the war's over with the election, why are you deceived, right? And number two, we have to actively take it to the streets. We have to reclaim our schools. We have to reclaim our government. Right now, we have to just now pop the clutch. Not put in the clutch. We have to get ready and pop the clutch. And it has to happen, can happen, through, as Larry would say, the satanic social clubs. Our churches standing up, pushing back in mass are the only chance that we have. That's the way I see it.
Hey, Coach.
Joe.
I was going to bring to mind, in reference to what you were speaking about at the beginning of the show, and you were talking about birth control and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I come from a good old Catholic family like you. Okay. You remember the rhythm method?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My parents used that to get more kids.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
The oldest of 11, so, you know.
But the idea, Joe, right? The idea was sex was designed for procreation. It wasn't designed for pleasure. I mean, pleasure was a consequence that came along with it, but that wasn't the purpose of it. And when we took the possibility of reproduction out of the sexual experience, it became just hedonism. It became just pleasure. That's what happened.
Pill and all the rest of it later.
So when are we going to stand up? One of the things that I've been doing a lot of stuff. Maybe it's one of the memes I put in there. Folks, when are we going to fight for a return to a biblical society? Are we going to do that when this whole thing is over and the election is over? Are we going to begin at that point to stand up and fight for a return to a biblical America? Because if we don't do that, we won't get anywhere. If you think it's just Republican and Donald Trump and Melania Trump and maybe Trump's son can be the next president, Trump 44, then his grandson, then we'll get Barron in there in 2098. Quit being so damn stupid. This is spiritual. And the church is the one that's been designed to fight the battle. Come on, it's over. Yeah.
The church, as the church truly is, this group of people here, the listeners, other people who believe the same way that we do, regardless of religion, okay? Because there won't be religion. That'll be gone. Either way, when Christ returns, it'll be gone. Or if the left wins, it'll be gone. you know, as far as religion is concerned. We won't have that. And for us to try and reassemble our nation, there's going to be major confrontations.
There are, brother. Religions,
okay? And unless Jesus Christ is the head of this, it ain't happening.
So, Joe, let's do this. Hey, Mike, real quickly for me, pull up WRFD for me, one, Mike. Mike, how they helping us fight the fight here today? Our local Christian radio station. I'm just trying to point out to you why we're losing. All right. Let's see. What time? David Jeremiah is coming on at 7:30. Oh, you're missing him right now, and he's gonna make your one thing the main thing, part two. That would be good. Okay. Well, let's do that. And then old J. Vernon McGee, God bless him. He's been dead probably longer than I've been alive. He's going to talk to us about Haggai doesn't have his head in the clouds. He gets right down to the nitty gritty. And then Chuck Swindoll is going to give us some insights for a living on breaking down the barrier, part two. I'll be on there today. And this is, by the way, this is all going on as communism is sweeping across the land. James Daly, Focus on the Family. You don't want to miss this one. Developing a love of prayer in your kids. Now, there you go. There you go. That's there you go. And then Family Life Today with Dave and Ann Wilson with co-host Bob Lapine is me time, biblical. Well, that's all we've been seeing is me time. And Robert Jeffress, his pathway to victory with Robert Jeffress is the coronavirus, a judgment from God, part one. And Greg Laurie, you can catch him at noon. A new beginning with Greg Laurie, the temptation of a world changer. Oh, grace to you, John MacArthur is coming on 12:30. Salvation Survey, part one. So, woo-wee!
Hey, Coach.
Our army's at work. Yeah.
You know, I do this so rarely. I mean, wow, rarely. But I just got a word from the Holy Spirit for somebody listening. There's somebody listening right now, more than one somebody, that knows you are in a satanic social club. You know it. The signs are there. The fruits are there. You're in a satanic social club. Well, go to your Bibles, open up 2 Corinthians 6:17, and be obedient to the Lord.
What's it say, Larry? 2 Corinthians 6:17. I'm sorry. I thought he'd get there. 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 6.
Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Amen. 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 Hey, a couple things I want to throw in there real quick. I'm going to Texas this weekend. Going to be down there. I don't know if Chad's up this morning. Chad's having a big event down there at his house Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'm heading down that way. Any information on that, Chad, if you're in here? Don't know if you are. If you're not, I just said it for you. I'll be in Texas this weekend. And then I had an amazing thing happen to me this weekend as well. You heard that President Trump has been messing with the drug prices. Have you guys, I don't know if this has impacted anybody yet, but he clamped down on the pharmaceutical companies and put some restrictions on them on what they're able to charge and they're not allowed to overcharge. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. That happened about 6 or 7 months ago. Well, I take a medication called, what's it called? Liliquist. No, something. Some kind of quist. It's $6 a pill. I take two a day for my AFib. $12 a day. When I went and got my first prescription of it, the people at the Kroger Pharmacy said that, well, sir, you can save a little bit of money if you buy in 3 months rather than every month. I said, okay, how much? Well, you can say, and they told me what it was. And so I bought my first 3 months of Quist, Eliquis, that's what it is. I bought my first 4 months, 3 months of Eliquis. Are you sitting down? And with my insurance, my payment was $517 for 3 months. $6 a day, $517. That's a lot of money. So my first batch was about done, is done. So I called Kroger Pharmacy, ordered some new Eliquis, went in and picked it up. The guy gave it to me and said, sir, that'll be $157. And I stopped and I said, whoa. I said, listen, I get this in 3 months. I buy 3 months worth. It's cheap if I buy 3 months. He said, sir, that is 3 months.
Amen.
So I said, what? He says, yeah, that is 3 months. The price has changed. So the price for my medicine went from $577 for 3 months to $157. So I'm voting for Trump.
That was a pharmaceutical markup, Coach. That's all
that. What's that? You say it again, Vinny. Hey, listen, one more thing. About out of time. Sheila Zielinski was set to be on with us today. She lives in Calgary, Ontario. They got a huge snowstorm. She said that their internet goes in and out when they get bad storms like that. I can't believe it's snowing already. So we're going to reschedule her. I haven't heard back from her yet, but I told you I was going to have her on, and we're going to have her on soon. We are going to do that. Mike, go to Facebook page real quick. Got to show you this. Kiwis. Proud of our Kiwi boys. Be encouraged, folks. Be encouraged. You got to go clear on down, Mike. I think it's clear down to the bottom. I was going to pop it back up the top. I didn't. Hey, go on. I've got some great memes for y'all, folks. But I got to show our Kiwis. Tony Sumner and my boys, I got to give a hat tip to them. Keep going. I'm sorry. This really pumps me up. Keep going. Oh, there it was. There it is. Look at this, boys. Huh? This does my heart good. This is the Salt and Light Brigade of New Zealand. Is that amazing? Tony Sumner, save Kiwis in abortion. Holding created equal signs that they got from Mark Harrington. We're waking them up around the world. God bless Tony. You guys that are out there. Amazing, huh? Amazing. He might be listening out right now. It's like 2 o'clock or something over there right now. But don't think we're not making a difference. Somebody help me wrap this thing up. No? Come on.
Hey,
no,
Coach.
Coach.
Yes.
Coach.
918. Go 918.
Hey, Coach. You got Randy here.
Hey, Randy. Hey,
Coach, guess what we're seeing? We're seeing the demons manifesting, Coach.
Yes, sir, bud.
Look what happened in the day of Jesus. Everywhere he walks, he's on there. Demons are manifesting. Why? Because the Spirit of God, their presence, and they know they're going to be found out, Coach, and they're going, hey, don't send us out, don't send us in the abyss before our time, Coach. This is what's happening right here. We're walking, we're going to places, and they're manifesting. They're going, no, leave me alone, leave me in here. I'm good. I won't do anything bad. we just want to control a little bit longer. Don't push us. This is what we're doing, Coach.
Yes,
it's
sir.
The Spirit of God, wherever it's we're taking him, that's what's happening.
The demonic realm is breaking loose, brother, for sure.
That's what we're seeing, Coach.
Yep. How about that poor guy got killed out there in Denver? Now they're trying to make up all kinds of lies about him, right? Folks, it's the demons are manifesting for sure. For sure. So we know what? Trump said they got it all, and he said they're going to release it all. So we're going to find out just how biased the media is. How much they are wrapped up and caught up. And I put a meme on my Facebook page this weekend, said, who elected the media? Can somebody tell me that? Who elected NBC and CBS and ABC and MSM? Who elected them that they get to be the ones that determine what we get to hear and what the truth is? See, it's an information war, isn't it? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. Weapons are warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. October 31st, we're going to go visit Hillary. Love for you guys to come. If you can't come, send us $25 and buy us a tank of gas if you would be able to do that. Help all of us work together on this. And we'll get organized, a prayer group praying at the same time we're going. This is the time. This will be our finest hour. God bless you, man. We'll see you tomorrow.